his arms are open wide.
This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Hello there, this is Paul O'Higgins with today's Great Invitation. The Great Invitation goes out from the loving heart of God to every single human being, inviting us to be reconciled to Him, restored to His fellowship, love and care, to be filled with His life and empowered to walk in His ways and to be a blessing to the world around us, all on the basis of what Jesus has done. In today's Great Invitation, we're going to look at God's invitation to all of us to stand with His purpose and to understand His purposes with the people of Israel, the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. All of this is a central theme of the Bible. We call it the Abrahamic Covenant. Yet, in many of our churches, I know in my own experience growing up in the traditional church, I never heard anything about God's covenant with Abraham. The Jewish people were just simply another unreached people group, and certainly they have to be evangelized like any other nation. But God has a plan and a purpose and a destiny for them that involves His plan for world history. As believers in the Word of God, we understand that history isn't random. God is working out a plan through the historical process for world redemption, beginning in the call of Abraham that his family would be given the land of Canaan, we now know it as the land of Israel, and that through them the Messiah would come, that the Jewish people would be scattered to the nations and brought back from many nations, and there they would establish a nation. To that nation, the Messiah, whom we know as Jesus, would come and establish his throne in Jerusalem, not only for the sake of the Israeli people, for the sake of the whole world. He'll be king over all the earth. The plan of God has a beginning, a middle, and an end. God is moving in history, and he controls history by his plan. So Christianity and the Judeo-Christian vision of life, as given in the Bible, it's so completely different than any other religious system, because it reveals God's plan for world redemption. God's plan not only for personal salvation, but for world redemption. And his plan for world redemption is tied up in a series of covenants he made with the Jewish people. Now, what is a covenant? A covenant is a solemn agreement that God enters into with a person or a people group. And the central covenants of the Bible are the Abrahamic covenant, the covenant he made with Abraham, the Sinai covenant, the covenant he made with the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt, the new covenant, a covenant for the remission of sins and the infilling of the Holy Spirit, which he made first with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, and by extension to every nation. This is the covenant that Jesus inaugurated through his death, burial, resurrection, and ascension. That's the covenant of salvation. And then the Bible also shows that he entered into covenant with King David, that he would restore David's throne, and that the Messiah would rule on that throne, not only over Israel, but over the whole world. So God's historical plan, God's plan for world redemption, is being worked out in history. And that's why it's important for us to understand the place of Israel and the promises he made with the Jewish people. Today we're going to examine the Abrahamic covenant, the covenant, the promises he made with Abraham. It's so exciting to read about it, and yet I know that many of us have been blinded to this. A friend of ours who came with us to Israel once, and at the end of the time he said, "We've been robbed of so much truth. So much truth was not explained to us in our pulpits. And now we're in a time of great restoration of biblical truth, and there's an explosion of the knowledge of God all around the world." Paul says, "Concerning the mystery of Israel, I would not have you ignorant." God wants us not to be ignorant about these facts, because if we're ignorant about the place of Israel in the plan of God, we might follow the way of the world. The world goes its way, but we understand the plan and the purposes of God, and this rescues us from the agenda and propaganda of the world around us. God has a plan for Israel, and this is shown in Genesis chapter 12, Genesis 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17. There, the redemptive plan of God begins to reveal to this man, Abraham, whom he called out of a life of paganism. There are four elements in the Abrahamic covenant. First of all, it's a promise of land. God said to him, "To you I will give this land, the land of Canaan." It's a promise of progeny that Abram was to have heirs. It's a covenant of blessing. Abram was blessed, and also it's a covenant promise blessing to all those who would relate to it. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. Those who would honor this covenant would be blessed. And of course, those who despise this covenant, they're putting themselves on the wrong side of God's plans and purposes. And this is why the devil is so hostile to the special calling and place of Israel. He tries to hide this great truth and revelation from the church. He tries to stir up propaganda against Israel. And he tries everything in his power to develop ignorance of this plan so we will not try to understand the plan and purpose of God for world redemption. And the answer to this ignorance is the truth of the Bible. So let's look at a few of these promises that God made with Israel. First of all, this covenant that God made with Abram was a covenant of blessing. We see this in Genesis 12, 1-3. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country, your kindred, and your father's house to the land that I will show you," a specific piece of land, "and I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed." That's the foundation of the Abrahamic covenant. He had to enter into the plans and purposes that God had for him. He had to leave his old life and give himself over to the plans and purpose and calling of God. Then in Genesis chapter 12, verse 7, God says specifically, "To you and your offspring I will give this land." So he built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared with him. And again, in Genesis 13, 15, the duration of this covenant is mentioned as a forever covenant. "For all the land that you see, I will give to you and to your offspring forever." Now let me ask you this, how long is forever? It's forever. And so God deeded this land to Abram and to his children forever. Then in Genesis 13, verse 17, God reinforces this. "Walk through the length and breadth of the land, for I will give it to you." Then in Genesis 15, 18, he specifies the dimensions of that land more specifically. "On that day, the Lord made a covenant." It's a solemn promise with Abram, saying, "To your offspring, I give the land from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates, the land of the Kenites, Kenizzites, Kadmonites, Hittites, Perizzites, Rephaim, Amorites, Canaanites, Girgashites, and Jebusites." Then in Genesis 17, we have the fourth element of it. So it's a promise of blessing. It's a promise that he'd have descendants, because it's to your descendants I give this land. And then the duration of that covenant is in Genesis 17, 7-8. "I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your offspring after you. And I will give to you and to your offspring after you the land of your sojournings, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God." As believers in the Bible, we believe these promises. We understand those promises. Now, the atheists and the people who don't understand and know the Bible, they know nothing about these promises, so they're misinformed about the whole plan and purposes of God. That's why Israel is always in the news. Now, God also told Abraham's descendants when he met with Moses and the children of Israel in Mount Sinai. He told them that if they disobeyed his commandments, they would lose temporary enjoyment of the land. And in the days of Jeremiah, God told Jeremiah and told the people of Israel through Jeremiah that because they had been unfaithful, they would go into exile for 70 years into the land of Babylon. We see this in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 7 to 11 and 12. God did promise that they would lose enjoyment of the land for 70 years. And then after 70 years, he brought them back from the land. Then the prophets foretold Ezekiel, Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Jesus himself, that the Jewish people would go into exile once more, but that in the end of the age they would be brought back to the land of promise, and after their return to the land, they would become a spirit-filled people. He would bring them back, wonderful prophecy, the valley of dry bones, and brought back as a people, and then the Spirit of God enters them. And that whole process of Israel's restoration will end with the coming of the Messiah. So the return of the Messiah, the coming back of Jesus to reign and rule from Jerusalem and over the whole world, isn't something that just happens in a vacuum. It happens as the long climax of the historical process of the promise of the land to Israel, their enjoyment of the land, their rejection from the land on a temporary basis, and then God's remembering his covenant with them to bring them back to the land. And in these last century and a half, we've seen the Jewish people restored to the land and then becoming dominion over that land, because this is the plan and the purpose of God. Now, we don't agree. The Bible doesn't demand that we agree with every policy of the Israeli government. That's not the issue. The issue is, do we recognize the hand of God in the restoration of these people to their land? And do we also recognize that any plan to eject them from their land is absolutely an antichrist teaching and totally opposed to the plans and purposes of God? So we know that it's all going to end wonderfully with the return of the Messiah. But we also know that between their return to the land and the second coming of the Lord are going to be difficult days for Israel. But God will draw them closer and closer and closer to themselves. And also, this blindness that has been on them concerning the identity of the Messiah will be removed. And also the blindness of the Christians to the special place of Israel in the economy and purpose of God will be removed. We will start studying and examining the Abrahamic covenant. So under the terms of the Abrahamic covenant, the land is theirs forever. It's a covenant of blessing, a covenant of progeny, a covenant of land, and a covenant that lasts forever. That's forever. Also, under the Sinai covenant, they were warned that they would lose their enjoyment of the land through disobedience, but that God would bring them back. Under the terms of the Sinai covenant, they were expelled twice from their land. But under the terms of the Abrahamic covenant, God remembers his covenant with Abram and brings them back to the land. Let's look at what Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, the mother of Yeshua, what she said about the covenant with Abraham. She made this wonderful song of praise to the Lord. My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. And in this wonderful song, she begins to praise God for what he's done for Israel. He has helped his servant Israel. Luke 1:54. He has remembered his mercy as he spoke to our fathers, to Abram and to his seed forever. Mary was very conscious that the coming of Jesus into her womb and the coming of the Messiah through her was a mercy from God, because he would never forget his promise to Abraham. This should be very much a part of the consciousness of us believers, that our redemption and the work of Jesus is very much in the context of God's promises to Israel. The new covenant is situated in the context of the promises of God for Israel, and their temporary loss of the land was due to their sinfulness, and then covering of sin in a permanent way through the atoning sacrifice of Jesus and the impartation of new life will mean that they'll never again be exiled from the land. The new covenant is the solution to the cycle of disobedience and rejection from the land, because this time when they come back, God is going to cleanse them and draw them totally into his heart, and he'll make them a very righteous people in the land. Pray for God's plan for Israel, understand his plan for Israel, teach about his plan for Israel, and let this become a part of the consciousness and teaching of the body of Christ throughout the world. It's beginning to happen, isn't it? It's wonderful to see how most of the body of Christ who follow the Bible understand and pray that God's plan for Israel not be harmed by the wars of those who don't understand them and those who hate them and those who would like to drive them from their land. The devil shudders at the thought of Israel being in their land, because he knows that their return is going to be followed by the return of the Lord Jesus to reign over them, to reign over the house of David, and to reign over the whole world. God remembering his promises to Abram, God remembering his promises to David, God providing permanent atonement for them so that the curse of being exiled from the land will never have to come upon them again. For a fuller treatment of this subject, go to our website, and we have a book there that's very helpful called The Four Great Covenants. Our website is reconciliationoutreach.net, and go to the books tab there and you can order the book. It'll really help you. The Great Invitation is produced by Reconciliation Outreach and made possible by the support of listeners like you. To contact us, go to our website, reconciliationoutreach.net, and hit on the contact button there. Or you can write to us, Paul and Nulo Higgins, P.O. Box 2778, Stuart, Florida.
Perfect for business or pleasure, Pirates Cove Resort offers a peaceful getaway, giving you old Florida charm in a gorgeous contemporary setting. Elegant and comfortable, Pirates Cove Resort satisfies your yearning for a place away from demanding schedules. Family owned and operated, the staff of Pirates Cove Resort will joyfully provide for your needs while you relax and enjoy all of our amenities. For more information, we can be reached at 772-287-2500 or on our website, Pirates Cove Resort.
Hi, this is Keith Masters, street witness, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. The book of Proverbs is one of the 66 books in the Bible, which contains many wise sayings. The purpose of this book is explained in the first proverb, verses 2 through 7, which reads, "For gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, for receiving instruction in prudent behavior, doing what is right, just, and fair. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." The Word of God says in Psalm 14, verse 1 and 4, "The fool says in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt, their deeds are vile, there is no one who does good. Do all these evildoers know nothing?" And once again, the Word of God says in Psalm 53, verse 1, "The fool says in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt and their ways are vile. There is no one who does good." The Word of God says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." And the Word of God says in Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 28, "Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, and over every living creature that moves on the ground." The Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 1 and 2, Jesus says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you?" And the Word of God says in 1 Corinthians, chapter 2, verse 9, "However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for him, for those who love him." And the Word of God says in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, "If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." This is Keith Masters, a street witness, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ.
Does the Bible sometimes seem complicated to you? Well, to help you get a proper perspective, we invite you to join us on Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee each weekday on the station as we go through the Bible in 5 years. Dr. McGee teaches the Bible in an easy-to-understand way, and you'll appreciate his simple, down-to-earth, and yet profound Bible teaching right here on the station.
Join Dr. McGee at 9 a.m. and p.m. right here on the Good News Station, WCNO.
Abba Father, save me from this hopelessness. God my Father, help me fill this emptiness. I ran away from what I knew was true. I need to hear your voice and be close to you. Don't let me fall away, just like the grass withers away. Like the flower, I will fade. Don't let me fall away.
Abba Father, save me from my enemies. God, my Father, voices all around me. Open up my lips so I can speak. Help me to stand, for I am weak. Don't let me fall.
Is wonderful counselor.